was to commence with hymn 167, omitting verses 3 and 4. Come, all harmonious tongues, your noblest music bring. 'Tis Christ the everlasting God, and Christ the man we sing. 167, omitting verses 3 and 4.
Thank you. Let us read from Paul's epistle to the Romans from chapter 8. Paul's epistle to the Romans, chapter 8. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. But ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his Spirit that dwelleth in you. We turn to verse 26. Likewise the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called, and whom he called, them he also justified. And whom he justified, them he also glorified. What shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died. Yea, rather, that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus, our Lord. May the Lord bless his own word. May he grant prayer. O thou in whom we live, we move and have our being, in whose hands are those brittle threads of our lives. Truly, puny is man. We seek grace, that in all reverence, godly fear, we might make known our requests unto thee even this evening. The king did say to Nehemiah, for what doth thou make request? O Lord, we pray thou wouldst enable us to open our mouths wide, confessing sin, seeking grace to help in those continual hours of need. We seek forgiveness for our sins. It is mixed in our holy things. We feel it, oh, unclean, unclean is the cry of our heart. Behold, said one of old, I am vile. no words can express. That which is felt at times, that anguish of soul, when sin is revealed, when the sinner is convinced of his sad condition, Lord, we thank thee that there is balm in Gilead, that there is comfort in thy word, that there is mercy. Free unmerited favour to be known in and through the merits of Jesus Christ alone. We join with David, even as we come into the sanctuary at this evening hour, closing service of another of thy days. Who am I? And what is my father's house that thou hast brought me thus far? O Lord, we look within, and such a state meets our eye. We would look without. Look up. Oh, for that faith to do so. Looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of faith. Lord, implant, we pray, a greater measure of that faith. For destroyed we are of ourselves. O Israel, is it not spoken as concerning us also? Thou hast destroyed thyself, but in me is thine help. Oh, how sweet and comforting are the words of the gospel. Lord, hearken, we pray, unto those that seek to make their request known unto thee at this evening hour, such that would be embraced, bound up in that bundle of life, found in Christ. We pray, Lord, thy blessing to rest upon thine own word. A powerful word indeed when applied. But the scriptures thus can be read without any feeling, without any exercise. Lord, we groan that it should be so. Oh, remember us in our infirmities. We thank thee that thou hast compassion upon the ignorant and those that are out of the way, and that there are none too vile, too unholy to receive grace at thine hand. O Lord, we pray with the dying thief, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. Lord, thou art there now, risen to those realms above, at the Father's right hand in glory. Oh, remember us in our lowest age. Truly, it is a low estate. We do not frame words, Lord, thou knowest. We would not come in presumption. Lord, ours is a lost, ruined condition, but for grace. Upon thy grace we depend. Daily, poor dependence upon thy mercy. And yet how we have to record, even as once again we come to the evening hour, that mercy, that grace superabounds our many transgressions of thy holy law. Where sin abounds, grace doth much more abound. O Lord, what cause we have for thanksgiving. And so now, upon this Easter day, the first day of the week, Lord, we've known the sorrows of the evening hours. Deep have been those sorrows. We trust we can say we've known a little of that power of thy resurrection. We would follow hard after thee. Thou didst declare, because I live, and only because thou dost live, so shalt thou. O Lord, may we not look in any other direction. May we not rest upon any legality. Oh, may we not presume. Thou dost search the heart with the candle of thy word. Thou dost so often reveal those hidden recesses wherein lurks those supposedly hidden sins. Lord, we pray we may be given grace to confess them before thee. The psalmist thought that thou wouldst forgive him the sins of his youth. Lord, we have to join with him. Lord, not only the sins of our youth, but the sins of all our days. How much we have to be ashamed of. How many are those years which the locusts have eaten? But Lord, thy word declares, I will restore. I will restore. Lord, come again. Come again, we pray thee. All thy wastes I will restore, and thou shalt be rebuilt again. Lord, we pray for that work of thy Spirit. Oh, then it shall be known what a God of love can do. So remember those, Lord, that are e'en cast down this evening and burdened with their sins. Lord, may there be a leading to Gethsemane, direction of thy Spirit to Calvary, there to one to behold. Is there any sorrow like unto my sorrow? Behold and see. Lord, upon thee was laid, oh, such an intolerable load of sin. It is our desire. Weepingly we express it. Tremblingly we ask it to know our interest there. In that precious blood shed upon Calvary's tree. Nothing else, Lord, can satisfy us. Nothing else in reality can bring any lasting peace or joy. Lord, grant us that joy and peace in believing. What great things we ask. So wretched is our heart. But again we look. Oh, we would look up. Lord, have mercy upon us. Bless church and congregation here. Friends that gather with them from time to time. Bless the young and remember those that are older. Those that bear responsibilities in this, solemn day in which our lot is cast. O Lord, raise up those pillars, we pray, in Zion. Raise up those stalwarts amongst the churches. Much declension there is, a falling away, night of ours, an excuse made in, as such, wantonly take those steps, that they do this, that even God may work. O Lord, grant the humility amongst young and old, grant their dependence upon thee. Lord, oh, we pray that thou wouldst so work in the hearts of many, that that faith afforded them may reveal itself in those works that do follow it. Lord, we fear many put it the wrong way round. By nature, so we do. Consider there must be works ere the salvation. It is by grace, grace alone. O Lord, we would rejoice in it, for we are unable to work anything of ourselves, but our help and hope is in thee. But do grant, Lord, that may be that wrought in thy name. May there be those constrained by thy love, those directed by thy spirit. Oh, may there be that wrought in Zion with that spirit wrought zeal for thy glory. Lord, raise up, we pray, the Ezras in our day, the Nehemiahs. Lord, oh, may there be those who shall, with thine help, build again those walls of Jerusalem. Leave us not to complacency. We feel it the plague of our heart. We feel it the plague of Zion. Oh, Lord, leave us not to fold our hands in that slothfulness and sleepiness, but rather grant us the grace to seek at thine hand, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? And now, Lord, O hear prayer for the afflicted. Restore those that have been laid aside. Bless those waiting souls. Heal the brokenhearted. Revive, Lord, those that feel so lifeless. Yet, Lord, they do feel it. Is there not hope? May they look again, as Jonah looked. Look again unto thy holy temple. Bless those that hold office. Remember them, Lord, in this arduous labor of love. As constantly thou found at the footstool of mercy, thy word declares, and oh, for grace to comply, continue in prayer and watch unto the same with thanksgiving. We pray, Lord, that we turn again the captivity of our land. Have we not, oh, it cannot be said otherwise, procured these things unto ourselves? Give us the grace and more grace to bow our head and confess those sins. But, oh, Lord, now we turn to thy word. We feel our utter inability, our deep ignorance, What do we know of spiritual things? We have to question at times, why was I called to minister in holy things? Oh Lord, we would lift up our eyes unto thee, from whence cometh our help. Grant the unction of the Holy One. Touch one's lips with the live coal from off the heavenly altar. Grant the clarity of thought, the clearness of expression. Lord, we need these things. We implore thee for them. But above all, we pray for that unction of the Holy One, that leading of the Spirit of God. Make up, we pray, where we fail in our asking. O Lord, so much burdens our heart. We trust thou hast laid it there. This one, that one. This matter, that matter. We thank thee that thy word declares, he knoweth. He knoweth. So hear us and help us, we pray. We present our petitions in and through the merits of Jesus Christ alone. Amen.
Hymn 486. See from the dungeon of the dead our great deliverer rise, while conquest wreathes his heavenly head and glory glads his eyes. 486.
Thank you.
seeking the grace of dependence upon the Lord, we venture this evening that the words found in Romans chapter 8, reading from the first verse. Romans chapter 8. These words from the first verse. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Comfort ye, comfort ye, my people, saith your God. Speak ye comfortably unto Jerusalem. Proclaim unto her that her iniquity is pardoned. She shall receive at the Lord's hand double for all her sins. Surely this word fulfills that exhortation given unto the prophet to speak unto the Israel of God, and further it follows that of the morning hour, come see where he lay, he is not here, he is risen, as he has said. Come see where he lay. The apostle relates of the conflict of his mind, heart, and spirit. The bitter conflict that raged within as Satan assailed him, as his own corruptions cast him down. A condition which reveals the ruined state of mankind without God, without hope, without God in the world. But there is that that follows. There is that which speaks God's intent of mercy, proclaims here through the apostle of the blessings that are in Christ Jesus, and that they were found in him, in Christ. Well, here is the crux of the matter. Found in him, they can never be condemned. Not sin nor Satan can lay hold upon them successfully. I speak in that manner as we are required so to do. For the adversary, he goeth about like unto a roaring lion. Some of us know, to put it in all simplicity, that with profound reverence, what it is to feelingly be clutched by the throat, and that suggestion rise, utterly condemned by sin, condemned and self abhorred, yet friends, was it not a prelude for mercy? Did not the day spring arise from on high? Was it not the Lord's appointed time to scatter those enemies? They overstepped the mark, as Satan so frequently doth. Meanwhile, one says, that foe can't boast of much that makes thee watch and pray. Come this evening, I trust of the Spirit of God, with this word of his grace, to unfurl that banner, to lift it high in Zion. There is therefore now, Christ is risen. He came forth from that dungeon. He came forth as that mighty conqueror, having overcome those infernal powers of hell. A mighty conqueror, he came forth, that great deliverer. And Zion shall rise with him. There is therefore now, friends, oh, doth this not follow that word of this morning? Come see where he did lie. He's risen. There is therefore now no condemnation. Oh, believest thou this? We may speak and multiply words to none effect, but if the Spirit of God should apply the truth, if he should so take of the things of Jesus, show unto this self-condemned sinner, then, oh, then they shall rise through that power of his resurrection. Rise up and proclaim of God's mercy. Now, if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his Spirit. Was the margin renders it because of his Spirit that dwelleth in you. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. The truth cannot be denied. Not one of us surely would question it. But the matter lies here. Am I made a real Christian? Washed in the Redeemer's blood? Have I union with the church's living head in Christ. There was an occasion, I speak it to his glory. Oh, it must be now, 30 years ago. Oh, how the years have passed. I went one Lord's Day morning to the little chapel at Bexley. Ever I felt utterly ruined, I did that night. And all matters in providence conspired together to make one feel there was only one word in all Scripture that one could take by way of text. All these things are against me. All these things, they are against me. But in entering that small vestry in that sanctuary of the Lord, I saw these words which we've taken this evening by way of text, written. Upon the wall of that little room, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. Friends, the Word of God transforms the very outlook, shall I put it, of a poor sinner. The word applied, pray for it. The application of truth. The word applied transforms that very outlook of the poor sinner. Now, not the sinner in the dust, but Christ exalted, risen in glory. He having suffered with such ignominy, even crucifixion, borne the sins of his people. He died. He rose again for their justification. What is that? Friends, we come together today to praise the Almighty Three, great and glorious in honor and majesty, for the wonders of redeeming love. Christ rose triumphant, having conquered those powers of evil. There's no condemnation. Justification. Is it not an absolving from sin? No charge now can be laid upon this convicted malefactor. And such we are, transgressors of God's holy law. We come short constantly. I say, no charge can be laid against that one, because he loved them and gave himself for them. To justify his people, he rose again. Oh, come see the place where he lay. The empty tomb. Comfort ye, my people. Behold, he is risen. That first day of the week, we tried this afternoon to speak a little, somewhat strangely one felt, and yet it laid upon one's heart at that late hour. The evening and the morning were the first day. So in creation, in that order. So in grace, in the work of God's Spirit, the evening and the morning, and how it is revealed in the sufferings of Christ. Darkness prevailed in Gethsemane, that sacred enclosure, among those trees, the olive trees. Oh, there Christ suffered. If they could but witness, would not they proclaim of those deep, that deep crying from a heart troubled, exceedingly sorrowful, even unto death. The cry is recorded from Calvary. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? The deep cries of one passing that valley of humiliation. The eternal Son of God, as he bore the curse of sin. By man came the curse, the first Adam, as he hearkened unto those tempting words, and took that which was forbidden. Through Christ, the second Adam, there is deliverance. Garden of Eden, now the Garden of Gethsemane. There is, therefore, apostle reasons. How ably he reasons. 'Tis the reasoning of faith. The perception of that work of Christ. Oh, see the proud Pharisee who thought he did God service by going about haling men and women to prison. Even such that believed in the Lord Jesus. A proud Pharisee. Not all have that signal beginning. But in some measure, oh, there's that bringing down and that crying for mercy. Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? What wilt thou? What is the work of God? Scripture records it. This is the work of God, that ye believe on him whom he has sent. An easy task, you say? I do not find it so. My heart will have nothing of these things by nature, but joining a little, as with the apostle, walking through the previous chapter, we see of that law of sin and of death, and how it condemns. Might say what might be considered even little things. secret things. It's sin. We're broken by our transgressions, His holy law. We've gone over that line, to put it quite simply. I remember, strange how these things come to pass. But while serving in the forces, on one occasion, a number of us took a short break and drove to the borders of East and West Germany. I remember to this day that post, a post in the ground which indicates one side, freedom, the other side, oppression. And brazenly, we thought we would go over the other side, see what happened, as it were. Simple things, foolish creatures. I've often thought of it. What a lesson we have there. Foolish creatures, brazen in sin at times. Why do I speak so? Oh, we think it will not be noticed. There's none to see us. If I know anything of it, the Lord will send affliction. He'll send judgment. I speak now of those secret sins of our nature. He will reveal these things. We cannot dismiss them. We're not permitted to do so. They lay heavier and heavier upon our heart until there is that confession made before the Lord, justifying, being made right. He rose to justify His people, to remove the guilt of sin, to take it away, friend, to take it away as far as the east is from the west. So far have I removed thy transgressions from thee. Now, saith the word, now are ye clean through the word that I have spoken unto you. The blood of Jesus Christ, it cleanseth from all sin. There is therefore now, we see Christ rising from the dead. In that morn, that glorious morn, that resurrection morn, He justified freely those elect vessels of mercy, those found in Christ, those chosen vessels. And this we have to say, ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you, that ye should bear fruit, fruit to His honor and glory. There is therefore, friends, it points to the cross. It points to that resurrection morn, a risen Christ. No longer did He lay in that cavern. No longer could death hold Him. He had freely given Himself for the sins of His people. This is the message of the gospel. This is that which the Word of God proclaims with all certainty. And this is the end, the purpose of the Spirit of God, bringing down such even into those low places, that they might be lifted up, brought up out of the dungeon, and a new song put in their mouths, even praise, all glory and honour unto Zion's King. Oh, great things. Oh, our hearts would be warmed in the consideration of these things. No condemnation. None can condemn. Christ hath died. Christ hath died, yea, risen again, justified his people. No power on earth, no power of Satan, mustering all that he can command, cannot remove. Oh, this is the gospel. Covenant love, covenant grace. Well might we say, do we believe that we profess to believe comes close? Perhaps we do not enjoy the comfort of it, but it remains. Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today and forever. Has he not said, and shall he not do it? Has he not promised? There is no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. He's justified them, absolved them from the guilt and the power of sin. Though the power might remain and the guilt is felt again and again, there is the fountain open for sin and all uncleanness. There is therefore the sacred privilege is afforded those that believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. And let us hasten to say, I do not speak carelessly, nor would I promote that easy believism which abounds in our day. Oh, canst thou believe? Said that, Father, as he came to Christ, Lord, I believe. Help thou mine unbelief. We have the word of God's grace. That power of Christ, it beareth witness by the Spirit. If the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, there is an if here. Does it not behove us ourselves to search our own hearts in these things? Have we the Spirit of God? Oh, have we the Spirit of God? Are we led of the Spirit? Do we live that life of dependence upon him? Seek him for guidance and for every blessing. What saith the hymn writer? Every grace and every favor comes to us through Jesus' blood. There's the source. No condemnation. Satan cannot stand against that blood of Christ. That cleanses. Guilty we are. Fallen creatures. We feel it. But lay hold upon that armor. Take the word of God. Pursue that path. Plead. Oh, plead the merits. That righteousness of Christ, that sin-atoning blood, There's power there in their pleading before the Lord. Oh, I speak of these things. I trust experimentally. I say there's power. Power in that plea brought into those extremities. Those great extremities at times. Maybe in the path of providence. Many times we've proved it so. Yet, oh, in that helplessness, there is but one plea. For Jesus' sake, we say it. We close our petitions with the words. And yet there are times when we're compelled to plead so for Jesus' sake. Lord, remember me. There is therefore, oh, that we could proclaim it, blow the trumpet with no uncertain sound. Proclaim of God's mercy and truth through Jesus Christ. Proclaim free and sovereign grace. There is. Oh, let none tempt thee otherwise. Let Satan tempt thee to give up and call no more on Jesus' name. I remember my dear father saying on one occasion, oh, he was sorely tried, that he overstepped the mark. There was nothing now that could save him, because of his sins. Until the comforting word of Scripture, the blood of Jesus Christ cleanseth from all sin. There is therefore no condemnation. The Israelites in Egypt, they took the blood, drained it into the basin, and sprinkled it upon the doorposts, the lintels. It was not being an Israelite that procured their safety. It was not being behind the door. It was the blood. Friend, hearken unto the word of God's grace. When I see the blood, I will pass over thee. Oh, have we such even today feelingly out of the question, sinned beyond reprieve, such the multitude of those transgressions. Oh, remember the filthy Mary, the Manasseh, even one that caused the streets of Jerusalem to run down with blood. A dying thief. What said he? We indeed suffer justly for our sins. But this man hath done nothing amiss. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. And then just a mention of the publican. He stood afar off. He wept before his Lord. He beat upon the breast and confessed his sin. And what do we read? These are the words of the Lord Jesus Christ. Hearken unto them. This man, he went down to his house justified, rather than the other. He rose again for our justification. Therefore, sin pardoned, put away, What can the Lord do? What can Satan do? Oh, I speak tenderly, even tremblingly. Beset with snares on every hand, burdened with sins, salvation. Salvation is of the Lord. There is therefore, how ably this dear man of God reasons. He proved it. He rejoiced in it. Greater love hath no man than this, than a man lay down his life for his people. Greater love. On such love one says, my soul still ponder. Love so rich, so full, so free. No condemnation. Faith, oh faith, in exercise embraces it. On such love. What great things. Go tell thy friends. What great things he hath done for thee on such love. My soul still ponder, love so rich, so full, so free. Say, was lost in holy wonder. Why, oh why, such love to me? He rose triumphant. In rising, justified, this people made right before God. In Christ's obedience clothe, and wash me in his blood. We would look to Christ, wait upon him, over the confirmation, the proof of it. Perhaps I lapsed this morning, as so often I do, upon the word. We see there, oh, how there was that proof that Christ had risen. And who could deny it? He rose. Now, therefore, it's not the words of men. It is the power of the Spirit that proclaims this truth. Now, therefore, there is no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus. Our Lord. Amen.
Collections last Lord's Day amounted to £785, for which we're very thankful. And God willing, Mr. Hadley is expected to preach on Tuesday evening, and next Lord's Day there will be a reading service in the morning, and Mr. Wheatley in the evening. And Emma and Ryan's wedding is on Thursday at 11 o'clock. Let us close with hymn 751. The Saviour lives no more to die. He lives, the Lord enthroned on high. He lives triumphant o'er the grave. He lives eternally to save. 751.
The Father, the fellowship and communion of the Holy Spirit be with you. Amen.